Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 21st episode of the 5-Minute Major Podcast STL. It's another week of hockey in the books, everyone, and another week of being a 500 hockey club for the Blues. Oh, boy.
It's painful.
It is what it is, man. The most frustrating time to be a fan. It tests your patience. We're going to share our thoughts and feelings about it, of course, on the recent games, three of them. We're going to talk about Stenberg coming over to NA.
Love it.
Play in Springfield, huge for the program. And then we're going to grade the WTF line and give them their official report cards. And then we'll have a little bit of good news for the podcast, some exciting news for the podcast for next episode, and we will share that at the end. So
super excited.
Stay tuned. Let's start with recent games.
Yeah.
And just share them out. Last time we talked, I think we had just lost in Columbus 6-4. And that was on the 4th of January. It is now the 7th of January we're moving to. It is the Blues. They were up in Minnesota to play the Wild in a Central Division rivalry matchup. And the Blues lost.
Yeah.
Good
Lord.
It started off brutal. We went down to second period was like a revelation. We scored 4 unanswered. And then we went into the third period and gave up 4 unanswered to lose 6-4. My first thought is the goaltending was just bad.
Yeah. You can't defend it even.
No. Need to make saves on probably 3 of those at least. I believe it was Binnington. And on top of that, just bad breaks, dude. Like
the broken stick.
Broberg had 2 broken sticks or something. One of them was on a 2-1 break, which literally iced the game 5-4. The refereeing was just horrible. I can't even defend them either. It was really bad. They missed a lot of calls that would have benefited us. I mean, not saying we should have won the game because of that, just it didn't help.
Well, you're not going to win a game when you're letting the Bogosians and the Mittelstats score goals against you. Also, Minnesota played over half that game with 5 defensemen.
Yeah, so you have no excuse.
You chased Philip Gustafson out of the net. Okay, cool. Now we get Flower, which Flower has our number, it seems like. And then you Brock Faber, he's out, and they're playing with 5 defensemen. That series at the end of the period where they kept icing it, that we should have got back in it, Bogosian was going on like 3 minutes, 4 minutes of ice time. Like, and we still couldn't put a goal in. So it was abysmal. It was terrible. It was a must-win game, in my opinion, that we keep saying these are all must-win games, which they are.
But they are.
we just can't when you have the Detroits putting 6-7 game win streaks on.
And that is the most frustrating thing.
Yeah.
Is like they have strung 6 wins together. Kane has found the fountain of youth again. Where's that? For the Blues, you know? I mean, we don't have a Patrick Kane. We don't have a DeBrincat. We don't have a Raymond, a Larkin. But we do have Thomas and Kyrou and Bush, and they were kind of just floating. I mean, they produce points, but sometimes it seems like they're just floating.
When you need
and not
them,
taking over games.
You need them to take over games. And right now, I think that's the continuous topic is you need your top players to produce in moments where games are close. And it's getting really hard to look at Booch and be like, hey, game's on the line. I need you to go score a goal. Like, I'm not feeling confident in that. I feel more confident about Kyrou and a Holloway right now than a Booch. And as much as we love Brandon Saad, like, Brandon Saad's really not that first-line guy. But we're playing him on first line. So I think we're between a rock and a hard place right now. And, I mean, this is what a 500 retooling team is.
Yeah. It's exactly what Armstrong advertised. And we keep saying that it's either we could be dead last like Chicago and be awful for years and then finally build back up with a bunch of first overall picks. Or we could just slightly fix it, have a chance to make it. I mean, I think I'd rather take that. I'd rather take the frustrating 500 club than the team that I literally cannot watch because they're so bad. Anyway, I mean, just a game you can't lose.
Yeah.
You come back, you take a 2-goal lead, worst lead in hockey, but you have to hold that lead.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of variables that didn't work.
Just come out flat.
Super bad in the third. So they scored early and then they scored often. So, all right. 2 days later, we came home. We have a lot of home games this month, which is it going to be good for us? Who knows? This game was just unreal. Blues versus Ducks. They honored Cam Fowler's 1,000th game. It was great. Yep. This was Sod's 900th game. I believe he got a point in this, so that's cool. A point or two. Blues beat the Ducks 6-2. It was a manhandle. I mean, the Ducks looked so bad. I was there, and I didn't see them have a glimpse of hope. This was a true beatdown. This is what it should look like for a playoff team facing a non-playoff team.
Yeah.
So as a fan, you get a little bit of hope, you know?
They just look so disheveled. The Ducks, like, it's bad. Crazy how bad the Ducks look. And, like, you kind of understand why Cam was like, yeah, it's okay to leave. But, like, you look at that Ducks roster, they have some really good players. Like, McTavish is a really good player. Like, Trouba, honestly, very good player, and he was wrecking people. And as much as people want to argue that Gudas is not a good – he has turned into a solid defenseman.
Yeah, he's never been that bad. He's just not a point guy, you know? The Ducks really, like, on paper.
Yeah.
You'd think they could string some wins together, and I think they did a little bit, but these last two games they've had were bad. Gave up 6 to us, and then I think they just lost, like, 6-0 to somebody else. It was not even a good team, too.
Yeah.
No. So they're kind of on the decline. I feel bad for Fabry. It was good to see him, though. He was a no-show in this game. Honestly, the whole Ducks team were no-shows. They did have two, like, good goals, the two they did score. Monty Montgomery's the reason this happens. You know, he comes to the press conference. He says, we're coming to rock and roll. We need the fans to come and rock and roll. And they rocked and they rolled.
Yeah, everyone came out of their houses after Snowmageddon and decided we want to go watch a hockey game, okay?
Yeah, yeah. He said cabin fever. He said, I hope you guys had some cabin fever. Now you're ready to come rock. And we did. It was so much fun. That was a great game. Hofer played okay. He played okay. He had like 0 hard saves. So you can't really say it was a great game, but he played okay.
He needed a good bounce back game. He needed a game.
That gives him a little confidence to be like, oh, maybe my team's going to score in front of me. You know, I'm kind of surprised that Monty didn't go back to him in the next game. I'm surprised he put Benny out there. Just, I don't know. It's that time of year where if you're going, don't you just ride off a win?
Yeah.
Just to see.
I understand
putting Bennington back as well, you know.
I think the whole thing, and I think Blues fans as a whole, David Alexander, the Blues goal coach, has a schedule. They are laid out. It is like it is already kind of a laid out, so the players know when they're playing.
Okay.
And he is one of the best goalie coach according to so many sources in the NHL.
Okay.
So I think it's already kind of written in stone.
Yeah.
And I think he is going to have the best read on if a goalie's good to go or not good. So I know the Twitter warriors talking about it's time to start Hofer. It's time to start. Like, just let it ride, guys. They know what's going on. They're in the locker room every day with the players. Binner is still the number one guy. Hofer will be that guy someday, but it's just not yet.
Yeah. I was that guy.
We both were.
I tweeted that out for sure. I was like, maybe you give the kid a chance. And then I got roasted, which it is what it is. Twitter's going to Twitter. I didn't know that. That's good to know. At least that puts that out of the back of my head. I don't know. It was just overall beat down. Nothing else to say. It was
fun to watch.
It was fun. It was really zero reason to be worried during that game. Yeah.
It's all part of the emotional roller coaster we've experienced as Blues fans this whole season, where we get our butt kicked in Minnesota after having the lead, to then like, all right, we're going to go beat up on the Ducks. And I'm like, this is it. This is the run. We're about to do it. And then we stay home and we play Columbus. And what happened in that game, Mike? Please just remind me of the pain I experienced.
So on the 11th, it's a Saturday, which is yesterday for us, 2 days ago for you. We lost at home to the Blue Jackets 2-1. Now, it felt like a playoff game, man. It was back and forth, just like no one was getting any good chances, really. Both teams were kind of kept to the outside.
Yeah. Props to Columbus, honestly.
Columbus, they are riding on something different, man. You never know. This feels different to me for them.
Yep.
They're riding on something bigger than anyone can imagine. And if they get in, man, they might be a problem.
Yeah.
Their goaltending is so interesting, though. We just played a guy named Jet Greaves. He sounds like a My Player creation. Comes out, pretty much shuts us out. Like, we scored, like, in the last minute. He could have shut us out easily. He played so good. But credit to Columbus again for their defense, keeping us to the outside. Zach Werenski, I think, should be number one candidate for the Norris Trophy.
Yeah.
He's been so unreal.
Point-wise, he is right up there with Cale Makar, too.
I know. And that's what makes me, like, he might be more valuable than Makar. Like,
I think he is.
To Columbus than he. Yes. So we'll see. If I had a vote, I'm voting for Werenski over Makar. He's been so good. He was flying in this game too.
Yep.
And I mean, was this Binnington again?
This was Benner.
Binny looked great.
He played a great game. Like, I can't be mad.
No.
First goal, he's put in a bad spot. And
yes,
he just can't make that save.
I was sitting there by myself thinking, and I tweeted this out too. I said, this first goal is a big, in all caps, goal. Like, this is the biggest goal of the game. And then 2 minutes later, Fantilli scored on just a great play, too.
No.
And I'm like, oh, no. I'm thinking to myself, that's it. Like, that's possibly it. 1-0 game. Dang near was. Pareko, I wanted to mention this. Still on pace for career highs after scoring. He had like a game or two off, no points. Now he's back again after that goal. He's going to break his career highs. So he's so good. Too bad we didn't convert on our power play.
Yeah, I was going to say specialty teams yet again coming back to bite us in the butt. And I just want to take a moment.
We cannot stop mentioning it.
No.
It's so annoying.
But here's the thing. And like, it is so hard because I've loved Sundqvist. But why is he on your first power play unit? Why?
Oh, no.
Because with that, Dylan Holloway is no longer on your first power play unit.
Like, it's wild. I think that the play is...
There's a lot of frustration with Sundqvist this whole game.
I think it's... Yeah, but why is he out there? Like, that's on coaching. That's on Ott and Monty and everybody for not being like, let's be more dynamic instead of like, just throw him in the middle to do nothing. You can throw anybody in the middle to do that job. Why wouldn't you just put Boosh in that spot? It's not like he's going to shoot it anyway. Just have him knock in a rebound and then put Holloway on the bumper.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's one of those where it's like they pick Sundqvist. I like at this point, like skill wise, I still Nathan Walker. Why not?
Yeah.
100%. He's a spark plug. Let him just go 100%. In front of the net and just pick up the trash.
100%. I agree with you. 100%. And he's not going to get knocked down.
No.
He's a brute force, and he will take it out on anybody that's in his way.
And I was going to say, and if he is, he'll get a cross check, and then he's going to be drawing penalties for you in front of
100%.
Him. 100%.
That's a great idea.
Monty, call us up. You know, we're sitting on the couch coaching here, so I think we have the solution.
Yes, we are couch coaches, as they say. The power play's got to convert eventually. You can't lose a 2-1 game when you have a chance to tie it on with a power play, man. Like, ugh, stinks to see. Let's go back to Sundqvist. He's just like, he was playing really well, I'd say. Like, that line was buzzing. And he had some great plays to keep it in the zone and keep that line buzzing in the O-zone. I don't think they converted, obviously.
Yeah.
But they really applied great pressure. And then he took a penalty. And it was, whoom, rock bottom. I'm like, what happened to this guy? He, like, let it go to his head or something. He's back to being just all over the place. It's really interesting. I don't want people to think we hate Sonny. Like, we just think it's time, you know? Yeah. It's that retool time, you know? It's time to bring in a new face or a young face. And
it's not to say his NHL career is over, because I think he would help in a San Jose. He honestly, he'd be really helpful to a Chicago team.
Oh, like, yeah.
There's a lot of teams that would love him on a fourth line.
Yes.
He's playing third line.
Weird.
Power play. Specialty teams. Like, a lot of play for a guy that does not have the skating speed that he used to. Injuries have caught up to him.
Yeah.
And it's not his fault. We're just expecting him to be more than what he is.
Well, that's what happens when he's playing on the third line of the power play.
Yeah.
The fans are going, oh, we see Sonny a lot. Why isn't he contributing more?
Yeah.
Instead of taking penalties all the time.
Yeah.
And that's just the way she goes, bud. Yeah. My question to you is, Joseph or Texier in his spot a better choice?
I think he's better face-off wise than Texier, but I'd almost rather see Texier in there. But that's a real small line if you just do Bolduc, Texier,
yeah,
and Neighbors. I mean, you got a lot of grit with Neighbors, and Bolduc is showing to be a phenomenal two-way defensive-minded forward right now.
He looks so good.
But also, like, I feel like Sonny's bringing them down offensively. And then Matthew Joseph, since the injury, just has not been the same player either.
Yeah.
Like, neither of the, like, in all honesty, out of the three, none of them are really a great option. I think you have to change the spot up.
Yeah.
Or a Radek Foxa moves up to your third line, like we talked about.
Yep.
And then you go with Walker centering and you put Texier back down there.
Put Texier out there.
Yeah.
And make it the WTT line instead.
Yeah.
And I don't hate that idea, because Fox is like a 55% face-off guy.
Yeah.
Like, and you're not telling me he's going to – he might be – see, I don't
know. They talked about that injury. There's more has come out about that injury with Foxa. So he got cut. He got stitched up in – what was that? Vancouver, I think, is where he got cut. Apparently, if it would have been like a couple millimeters to the other side, it would have nicked an artery.
Yeah, he was like 2 centimeters away from being a 50-50 shot of living.
Yeah.
So thank the Lord that didn't happen. That would have been
just a freak injury. Yeah.
Literally tragic. Like, and you can't have anything like that, you know?
You avoid the tragic, you get it stitched up, and then it gets infected. So, like... It's just one thing after another thing for him.
Really.
Happy to have him back. He's so important to this lineup, and I don't think people really realize that. But we've missed him, and he will be such a benefit down this stretch that we need.
100% true. I agree with you. Shout out Radek Fox.
Yeah.
We'll give you your report card here soon.
Yeah.
Do you love skating but hate having to drive out of your way to have fun? Skate St. Louis can help. Skate St. Louis is a locally owned roller skating operation designed to bring unique activities directly to you. Created by co-owners Augustin Boydell and Brendan Religa, Skate St. Louis provides skates, safety, and entertainment equipment for all ages by turning parking lots, indoor facilities, parks, greenways, and more into amazing roller skating experiences. Go to www.skatestl.com. Email them at contact@skatestl.com or call/text them at 314-745-6096 for more details. Remember, support local St. Louis businesses, y'all.
Looking for a premium handcrafted leather goods that can last a lifetime? At Valent Leather Works, they specialize in custom designed leather products made of the finest materials with expert craftsmanship. From wallets to belts to bags to accessories, each piece is crafted with finite attention and detail, built to stand the test of time. With a lifetime warranty, elevate your style with luxury that speaks for itself. Valent Leather. I personally have Valent Leather products, and I'm looking at getting another one here in the next couple of days. He's working on a wallet for me. Please go to his website. He is doing free custom engravings with each order. So just go to valentleather.com, valentleather.com, and place an order, guys. This is great quality products. John is a great guy, great customer service. He is a veteran, and we love our veteran-run companies, and he is in the healthcare world with me. So please support John and support local. He has great handcrafted items, guys, and I cannot say more about it. All right. Now, I'm excited about this next topic we're talking about.
Yeah.
Otto Stenberg. Playing in the AHL with your Thunderbirds.
Yes.
American Hockey League. So sounds like this was rumors kind of swirled a day or two beforehand, and that did come true. Otto has been playing in the Swedish Hockey League, which, if you don't know, in the Swedish Hockey League, there is relegation. So these teams are playing to stay in their position. So he was playing as like the 13th forward or playing like 9 minutes a night. And for a prospect of his caliber that we need to develop, we need continuous ice time where he's not worrying about if he messes up, he's out of the lineup. So he's coming over to North America. And this is the other big thing. He's 19. For those of you who don't know, European players are the only ones below the age of 20 that can play in the American Hockey League.
Cool.
North American born players are not allowed to be under the age of 20. Hmm. So your European players, a Dvorsky and a Stenberg, do circumnavigate that rule. So that's a little cool tidbit. But Army said he's focusing on development here. Get him acclimated to the North American hockey game. And I think this is going to be huge. He's going to be developing with Dvorsky, Kazkamaki, Pettersson. Like there is some real good youth guys down there that he is going to be playing with and getting that connection with. And it's phenomenal for Blues
fans. Yeah.
Like, this is great. Like, I can't say enough. It does make me also wonder, does Theo Lindstein get moved over to North America here sooner than later? Because he's also kind of playing that less minutes than we probably would like him to be playing. So
yeah,
it makes you wonder.
Yes, it does make you wonder. Those are situations that people probably don't know about.
Yeah.
They're probably just looking at the stats like, what? They're not doing great at all. And then you dive deeper and they aren't even getting the play. I wrote this down for us. Dvorsky and Stenberg had a very similar situations. Dvorsky was in the Swedish league as well, underperforming. He came over to the OHL in Sudbury and he had 88 points in 52 games.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Army brought him over here. Maybe we can replicate that situation. And I think it will happen. I think maybe not to that extent with the points, but I think it's going to be near point per game for Stenberg in the AHL. And it's just one step closer to being back. Like, the NHL team is one step closer to being back. And we can fill in those older guys with our youth. And that's going to be a big deal. Because when these guys are ready, Thomas and Kyra will be 28. And that's truly going to be our veterans now. And they're going to have to lead these guys to glory. And I think they'll be ready, man. They've shown glimpses. Thomas, obviously, Kyra's ready.
Kyra is stepping up, and I love it.
And I think these two guys are going to see these guys and be like, I could be like them, maybe even better. Yeah. and come out and take the Blues to glory again. We'll see. It's so exciting. I love Swedish hockey players, silky smooth people. There's players and great people as well. And it's just another telltale sign of how great Armstrong and Steen are. Really, we've mentioned it before. They're amazing. And Blues fans are so lucky to have had Armstrong for this long, man. Like, he's a respected general manager.
And you're handing it over to Steen, who I think is going to be set up for success, as well as taught the ropes in a way that he can keep this franchise on the right tracks.
I think he knows all these kids. I think he's been involved with it longer than we think.
Yeah, that. And then also you look at the conversation they had with Jimmy Snuggaroo saying, hey, come on to St. Louis, go win your national championship, pack a big bag because we plan on you joining the team once you're done with that.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We just got to be in a playoff spot. That's the thing.
It would be right. And then we, you know, the reality sets, we're like, we're not even in it yet, man. Yeah. Like, it'd be so cool to have it be like a not as crazy as Makar's would, but to have someone join.
It's like
late.
A Matthew Knives.
Yeah. Have a one or two of our prospects join in as like a scratch or a black ace. And if they get out there and start lighting it up, like in the playoffs, then we know they're ready. Like, that would be unreal. We'll see. Stenberg, let's finish this off. True was underperforming. He won't be playing with Dvorsky on the same.
That's the question right now.
Because he hasn't really been playing center for a while. He's been winging it up.
He's been winging it. He was a wing in the World Juniors. I think their goal is for him still to be a center. So the rumor is, does that mean Dvorsky comes up to the Blues here sooner than we're thinking?
Stenberg
moves into that center spot in the second line, playing with Kazkamaki and Silverberg. I wouldn't be opposed. Or he comes in, you let him get his feet wet. Dvorsky's still playing your second line. Stenberg's playing your third line. But I think the whole thing about him coming over, you want him to play minutes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't know. I think it'd be nice to move a Silverberg down there with him, who's a fellow Swede that's been playing really good for us down in Springfield, and give him that support and kind of mentorship. But, Pekka will get him up to speed down there in Springfield. It's gonna work out. And, you know, I think if you're looking for some more hockey to follow Blues fans, Springfield is gonna be very exciting here very soon, just with these prospects that they're continuing to get. So
we've said it so many times, dude. Our prospects are amazing. I think underappreciated.
I think that's the other thing.
There's a lot you can go.
No. I don't think the league is really as excited about some of our prospects.
No.
But a Jakob Stansel, who just showed the whole world and World Juniors what he can do, I think stock is rising on all of them. Like,
yes,
all of our prospects were some of the main people talked about. Dvorsky talked about nonstop. Stansel talked about nonstop. Like, Stenberg, they loved his game. He might not have been producing as much offensively, but you noticed he was on the ice every single moment.
Yeah.
So, like, I think people are starting to realize what the Blues have realized a while ago with these prospects.
Yeah, because there's always, like, if I see, like, a prospect ranking, like, we're not even in there.
No.
And I'm like, weird, man. Like, I'd say we have some of the best. but we are hyper-focused, you know. I'm not hyper-focused on any other team, so I wouldn't have any clue. A lot of people love Dallas prospects. A lot of people love, you know, whoever else. But the Blues are in a good spot. I mean, we could be in a better spot with the regular season record, but I'd say we're still pretty lucky as fans. Okay, let's go into our WTF line report cards. And I just threw these grades up there, Josh. I don't know if you want to agree with them. You can shoot what you want. I'll say what I put. It's really up to you, and we can agree in the middle.
Yeah.
Starter off with the spark plug.
Yeah. Nathan Walker, baby. All right. He has 8 points in 38 games played. He is a -4, which is a little disheartening. But he's averaging about 11 and a half minutes on ice. The biggest thing that I think he is not talked about enough, he's 51.8% faceoff percentage, which is huge. 129 hits, 22 blocked shots, and Mike gave him a B-, which I'm thinking more of a B. I think he's giving you more. I think he hasn't given you the offensive prowess that you kind of would want. But I think he's everything to this team and locker room. And, like, he is the identity of a Blue.
And, yes.
You know, B- isn't bad. I get where you're coming from. I think statistically you wish you got him a little bit better. But he's done everything for you. And it makes you really confused why Bannister ever took him out of the lineup early in the season. This man deserves to be in your lineup every single night. He is on the ice, buzzing night in and night out.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the one player when he's out there, I'm like, I notice him.
Yeah.
You know, out of all the players that play, I'd say he's the most noticeable. And I mean, I would agree to give him a B, but I only gave him a B- because I really wish he would score some goals.
Yeah, like, statistically, I think he can.
We know he can. I mean, being out there for only that amount of time, it's kind of hard sometimes. And he really is just out there to lay big hits, man, and start some stuff. And he does a great job at it. And he filled in so well when Fox was out.
Like,
for him to have that good of a faceoff percentage, telltale sign.
He did everything you needed him to do.
He's really a Swiss Army knife, as we say. An Australian Army knife.
That's a knife.
All right, let's go on to his buddy, his Russian friend, who's a whole head taller than him, maybe a whole person taller than him, Alexei Torpchenko. He has 6 points in 42 games played. He's also a -4. He's on the ice a little bit more, 12 minutes and 21 seconds average. He's laid 95 hits. He's blocked 28 shots, and he is 4 of 8 on the faceoff dot when he fills in, so he's 50%.
Hey, we'll take it.
I'm actually kind of disappointed in Torpchenko. I think he's 10-15 goal scorer. He's a big boy. He drives the net.
Yeah.
I have him as a C-.
I really agree with you.
Okay. I was hoping he'd be B- range as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost think he's the goal scorer on this line with that big body. And he was the goal scorer
last year.
He has glimpses of where he drives the net, and I'm like, beautiful play. Like, even if you don't score, beautiful play, forcing the defense to defend you instead of just dumping, chasing. I think maybe he kind of lost his groove. Like, he kind of lost his way of what he was doing, and the fourth line's kind of been all over the place until these three guys figured it out together, and it's still not coming to him. Still loves laying hits and blocking shots, and that's amazing for a fourth line player, you know?
Yeah, I think for him, and I think the C- is fitting because last year, I mean, he had 14 goals
and
7 assists. Like,
amazing.
The same amount of ice time.
Yeah.
And put up 14 goals. The year before that, had 10 goals, 9 assists. It was a +6. Like, statistically, he was not great his first season when he played those 28 games, but, like, come on, bud. You got to be putting more goals in than that. Like, it's hard to justify him getting a better grade when you know he can score.
Yeah, and I think some of those goals might be because he did play up in the lineup a little bit last year.
He got an opportunity.
He got the opportunity because he was playing so good.
Yeah.
Scored a couple. He moved up. He was playing, like, third, second line at some points. He's almost like turning into the next Zach Sanford, but I actually like Torpchenko. we just hope he can start tucking him again. He's a good player. He's a pure Russian hockey player.
Yeah. He's good. He's great. He'll keep staying here. I think he's one that he's never going to price himself out of being in the Blue Note. And he'll be a good depth veteran guy down the road. I mean, he's still young. What is he?
Yeah, dude, he's super young.
He's 25.
Yeah.
Like,
you never know, he could turn into Barbashev, man.
Yeah.
He could turn into a Barbie where he starts tucking 20 goals, 30 goals.
Yeah.
He's with that big body.
6'6", 222 pounds. You're good, my guy. We'll figure out something to do with you.
No matter what, you have a spot in the league with that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Last guy to end.
Yeah.
The WTF line report cards, Mr. Roddick Foxa. We're happy you're back, bud. Missed him a lot on the dot, dude. These stats, I feel like, don't really show how he is, man. 7 points in 32 games played. He was never really a big point guy. He is a minus -7. And he's played a lot less games than these guys, which is kind of concerning. He plays 13 minutes a night. A lot of PK then, you know. It goes up because of the PK. And at some points, he was third line center. He's laid 50 hits, blocked 21 shots. This is a blocking shot line, shot blocking line. The biggest part that I love this guy so much, dude, 54.1% on the faceoffs. And this Columbus game that we just watched, he had two or three in a row where it was just the cleanest thing ever. Cleanest faceoff win, and we set a play and we got a shot on net, and then we did it over and over again. And I was like, holy cow, no one else does that in the lineup.
Yeah, no,
maybe Thomas. I gave him a B. I am willing to go down to like a C+, B minus, strictly because of his plus minus being minus -7 with less games played.
Honestly, because, for his career, he's not doing too bad. He had a couple runs of minus -20 and minus -15, and
whoa,
yeah. But like point wise,
but so did like Shen.
Yeah, but let's be honest, like point statistically and point wise, I mean, last season in Dallas, he ranges anywhere between the 19 to 20 point range.
Okay,
he had a couple seasons of the 30s.
Yeah,
but. I give him a B. I think he's so important in the faceoff dot.
Yes.
And for a team that has struggled and needed center depth and people to win faceoffs, he's irreplaceable, in my opinion. And honestly, I think it's one of those guys that you and I have talked about. I know a lot of people think he could be traded. I think he is re-signed for a cheaper deal because I think he is loved by this organization because he isn't flashy, but he's consistently great in the dot and can be a great fourth line center for you.
He's basically the better option between him and Sundqvist.
Yeah.
For the fourth line next year. And I think we just keep running this fourth line into the ground until they're done.
And they're always on the ice.
And then when these young guys come, Shen will take over Fox's spot. He's now our wily veteran who's like freaking 38 years old and plays fourth line minutes like Steen did. And that's that.
Yeah. And I mean, he's 31. So it's not like he's super old either.
Right, true. Like, he looks old, but he's not at all. Yeah,
but
just goes to show that like people were surprised on the internet that Saad was still playing. I was like, dude, he's only like 32. But what are we talking about? Like Kane's like 37, and you're not worried he's still playing. It's insane. People are so funny. They just kind of forget about people. And he's got another 5 years in him, I bet. Truly a great pickup. Like underrated. Like that fourth line, this WTF line, man, they've been consistently hard hitting and face off gurus. So you can't say that they aren't doing it. If you watch, you'll see it.
They're the energy and the identity line of this team.
Yes.
And that's huge. And I think for us, you can't ask for more, especially for a 500 team. They go out there and there's never a point where I'm like super concerned when they're on the ice. Like I'm never worried that, oh great, the fourth line's out there, we're gonna give up a goal. That's never in my mind.
Yeah.
So I think as a whole, they're a decent line. I think we can say it's like a C+, B- line.
Yeah. You
probably can give him a B- as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll accept that.
Yeah.
People might think that's a little generous, but I don't think there's a fourth line in the league that you can give an A+ to.
Yeah.
Like, there's always mistakes. I mean, there's probably not a single line. You know, maybe McKinnon, Rantanen, and whoever they should stick on that line.
Yeah.
Maybe an A+ for them, you know. Okay. Yeah, that's all we have. Well, not all we have. We have a little announcement we'd like to make.
Yeah.
Shorter episode for you guys. I hope everyone's had a great week and weekend. So far, a good 2025. Josh and I have great news for Pod and for the listeners. We are going to have our first guest on.
Yeah.
It's a blues writer. I don't think we should say his name yet. We'll talk about it later. We're just gonna share our love for hockey with him and ask some questions about his expertise when it comes to the prospects, because he's dives really deep into prospect talk. So we're super excited about that. Just pick his brain, have friendly conversation, learn a little bit about him and how he kind of got into the role and where he's from. And
I'm excited.
Super excited, dude. And we've always wanted to just talk to somebody who shares the same amount of like love for knowing the deep roots of blues hockey. And I think you guys are going to hear a lot of good stuff from him.
Yeah, I'm super excited. It's going to be a great opportunity for us and a great opportunity for him.
Yeah.
And I think the blues community that we've kind of grown to be a part of is a close knit one. And I'm really excited. We're going to get to support him and get his name out there.
Yes.
So stay tuned. It will be coming here soon. We will be talking to him at the end of this week. Mm-hmm. And it will be on our following episode. So stay tuned. Tune in to our next episode. We love you guys. We love what we do. Thank you so much. And remember to spread the word about the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL. Love you guys. Thanks, Mike.
Let's go Blues, buddy.
Let's go Blues, buddy.